Let's turn to the word of the Lord. We're reading in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, and we shall read at the first verse. Let us hear God's word. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks for your holy word. We thank you for the men who were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write your word. We thank you it has been preserved down through the millennia. We thank you, Lord, in the midst of times of adversity and persecution, when men have taken and sought to destroy your word. They have burned it. They have buried it. But we thank you your word lives on. Truth resurrects itself. It cannot be destroyed. And we thank you we have, Lord, your word in our hands today. So come and grant to us the aid of your Holy Spirit to enlighten the word of Scripture, to enlighten our minds to understand and grasp. And may the Holy Spirit so apply the word to us that we will be different people, changed as a result of your grace and the work of your Holy Spirit in our hearts this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like you please to turn with me to this passage we've read together. Very familiar passage, Matthew chapter 5, dealing here with the Beatitudes. And come down with me to verse 6 that we're focusing on this morning. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I have no doubt I would have a great variety of answers if I were to ask any congregation, not least this one, what is the greatest need in the world today? In the present climate, you would think in terms maybe of a cessation of violence and trouble of hostilities in the Middle East. Others might think we need more control over the lawless in our society. Yet others might say we need to address the hunger problems in the world. Make no mistake about it. Peace should be a concern of us all. Peace in our world. And some efforts that are being made to discipline the men and women who are lawless in our society. And although much has been done in our world to relieve the situation of hunger, it does not seem in any of these areas to have made a huge difference. Great efforts are being made in each situation, but the results are only temporary. Because of sin, we will never have lasting settlements until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Martin Lloyd-Jones said many years ago, the greatest need in the world now is for a greater number of Christians, individual Christians, living in our society and acting like salt and light. That which will most impact society at large is when the people of God begin to hunger and thirst after righteousness. It is worth noting how the Beatitudes follow logically. They're not just a haphazard group of sayings or teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. No, as he gathered the disciples together and the multitudes and sought to teach them, his teaching follows logically one after the other. And he begins in verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And that's where we all need to begin to sense the poverty of our inward spirits, our inward needs, our consciousness that we are not what we should be, and that apart from the grace of God, we are lost and undone and ultimately will perish. So we need to begin there, sensing our own unworthiness. And as a result of that, our Lord Jesus moves on, and then he says, when a person senses they are poor in spirit, they don't just sit passively. No, they mourn over that condition. They want that that spiritual condition would be improved, would be correct, would be radically changed by the grace of God. And so the person who's pure in spirit mourns over their condition. And then as a result of that, when that person mourns over their spiritual condition, it brings humility. It brings meekness. In the Russian Bible, they don't have that word meek. They have basically humility. And that is exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ is seeking to say here. He says that when we sense that we are nothing in God's presence apart from his grace, we don't glory in the fact. No, we're meek. We are humble about it. For they shall inherit the earth. What a total contradiction of the world's ideas. The world says, sell yourself. Be strong. Overcome your own difficulties. But Jesus says, be meek. Be humble. Be gracious. And he says, those are the people that ultimately will inherit the earth. And that leads us to our text today. Then blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Notice with me, first of all, here we have a declaration made. Jesus is saying, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. Let's put the emphasis on that word, blessed. The key to understanding this text, yea, the key to understanding this whole context and the whole section here is found in verse 20 in these words, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven." The main theme here that Jesus is dealing with is righteousness. And that is fundamental to an understanding of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, that salvation is by grace alone through the imputed righteousness of Christ. Christ imputes his righteousness to us. This righteousness is not of ourselves. It is a free gift of God. We are nothing in ourselves. We have nothing to boast of. But Christ imputes his righteousness to us. That word Blessed can also be translated happy, and rightly so. Blessed or happy are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Most people want to be happy, and everything in the lives of men and women today in our society is geared in that direction. The world longs for happiness, that which is elusive to them. They're always grasping for it, but never seem to attain unto it. It always seems beyond them. They're longing for this happiness. Augustine said in the 5th century, he said, man wishes to be happy even when he lives so as to make happiness impossible. Thomas Brooks said, the way of holiness that leads to happiness is a narrow way. There is but just room enough for a holy God and a holy soul to walk together. Whenever you put happiness before righteousness, you are doomed to misery. Those people are alone happy who are seeking to be righteous. That is the source of happiness. So we become happy, not by seeking happiness, but by becoming righteous, by becoming right in the sight of God. Otherwise, we are guilty of treating the symptoms rather than the cause. God always deals with the cause. Humanity deals with the symptoms, that which is on the surface. I remember years ago, I felt a great pain in my side, and in the morning I went to the doctor, and I knew him very well, and he put me up on his little table in the surgery, and I began to explain about the pain, and he said, I'm not a bit interested in the pain, I'm interested in what's causing the pain. And very quickly he ascertained the problem was appendicitis. He had me away to the hospital, and the operation happened within a few hours. He didn't deal with the symptoms, but rather the cause. And that is very important if we want to know real happiness. So he's making a declaration here about blessedness or happiness. But also, I believe that if we are to face up to this, there has to be honesty. So here, our Lord Jesus is not only dealing with the matter of happiness or blessedness, but of honesty. This raises the question, are we really honest with ourselves as God's people? Have you a real hunger and thirst after righteousness? Have you ever felt an emptiness, a longing for God? And the first symptom, Warren Wiersbe says, of sickness can be loss of appetite. How right that is. The first symptom of sickness can be a loss of appetite. And it's like that in the spiritual realm as well. A person is spiritually sick if they do not have an appetite for God. To know the Lord better, to know his presence, to walk more closely with him. Paul said, it is possible to be full of your own righteousness. Romans 10 and verse 3. And our Lord Jesus was constantly having to deal with this problem while he was here on earth, because he was dealing with the scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees. And there is an outer man and there is an inner man. The outer man is satisfied with food and drink, but the inner man has spiritual appetites, and that can only be satisfied with God himself. We must be honest before God regarding our spiritual appetites. Or have we really a spiritual appetite? Where is our hope fixed? In self-effort or in the righteousness of Jesus Christ? Have we a real hope in what Christ has done for us on the cross? Our hunger should be to be more like our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have a declaration made. Secondly, we have a desire manifested. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. That is what is needed more than anything else in the Church of Jesus Christ today. It is a desire after God. We have become self-satisfied and we're sitting back and feel we have reached it. We're there. But we should be constantly longing for more of God, hungering and thirsting after Him. And what the Lord Jesus Christ is dealing with here is this matter of longing for Him and desiring for Him and being honest with yourself. Have you felt that emptiness and that longing and desire after Him? In today's world, righteousness is viewed as merely a kind of moral goodness. Being kind to each other and respecting each other. However, the gospel goes much deeper than that. In the context of the Beatitudes, it means just much more than just justification. It means sanctification as well. Justification removes the guilt of sin. Sanctification removes the pollution of sin. Justification takes place outside as a tribunal. We are declared righteous in the sight of God. Sanctification takes place within us, in our inmost being. The Pharisees had the view which was external. But Jesus says it is internal. God working in us to conform us to the image of His dear Son. And from that moment when we are declared righteous, we are right in the sight of God. God begins a work in us to make us holy and make us more like our Lord Jesus Christ. The Pharisees and scribes of Jesus' day, they were so much concerned about the outward conduct, what you could see, but they neglected the major matter of character, what we were. Conduct always flows out of character. What we are in ourselves, and what we are is more important than what we do. Because if we are right with God, then there flows from us that righteous conduct in the midst of this fallen society where God has placed us to live. The hunger spoken of here is a hunger and thirst, a longing to be free from sin. Now, we will never be perfect in this life. Of course, we do not believe in sinless perfection. But nevertheless, God's people should be longing to be more like Jesus. That this power of sin is broken in our lives. And in the context here of the Beatitudes, that is what our Lord Jesus Christ is dealing with. This hunger and thirst after righteousness. It means a desire to be free from sin. And ultimately, when we get to glory, of course, we will be free from sin. And that is evidenced in the kind of appetites we have. Have we an appetite for garbage? It's interesting that many pastors are saying to me, whenever I travel across in England or Scotland or here, they are saying that so many Christians today are having massive problems with the internet. And so many people are hung up on it. And in the quietness of their own room, they are exploring websites on the internet. And many of them have got caught up in pornography and many other things that has destroyed their spiritual lives and destroying their marriage. It is a great problem. people have such a hunger for these things. Gadgetry. That's the day in which we live. They're useful, but they are bad masters. Good servants, but bad masters. Let us not be mastered by these things. And it would save an awful lot of pastoral pain and concern if God's people had the right appetites. It's a terrible thing to be in bondage to sin, but worse when we enjoy it and when we want it. May I quote Lloyd-Jones again? He says, "The man who hungers and thirsts after righteousness is a man who wants to get rid of that desire for sin, not only outside, but inside as well. This means to be free from self and sin, longing to be holy. To be in fellowship with God means to be walking with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in the light, in that blessed purity and holiness. Being like the Lord Jesus." That is what Jesus is speaking about. We are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, after His righteousness. So then we are being more and more being made like Him. So it is heeding the standard, but it is also hungering for the sovereign. A brother was praying in the prayer meeting this morning about the sovereign God in whom we trust. Have we got a hunger and thirst after Him? It means that you are desperate for God. J.N. Darby, the brethren writer, he makes a very interesting comment here, and he says, "To be hungry is not enough. I must be really starving to know what is in His heart toward me." I repeat, to be hungry is not enough. I must be really starving to know what is in His heart towards me. And the difference between being hungry and starving is clearly brought home to us in the scriptures regarding the prodigal son. The prodigal son was hungering for the far country before he left the father's house. But when he was in the far country, he was not just hungering for the father's house, he was starving. He was longing. He was desperate for the father's house. The soul is almost distracted until it enjoys that which it hungers after. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness. How different that is from the hypocrite, for example. The hypocrite does not so much search for grace. He's longing for glory. He doesn't want the way of righteousness, but he wants the crown. His desire is not to be made like Christ, but to reign with Christ. But the true Christian is hungering and thirsting after righteousness. He's wanting to be conformed and made ready for that day when we will be with Christ and ultimately we will reign with Him. If you want to know what it is to hunger and thirst after righteousness, then we must put ourselves in the way of blessing. And we do that by disciplining our lives. How important it is to discipline our lives, to give time to seek the face of God. But also, if we want to be blessed and we want to hunger and thirst after righteousness, another way of blessing is by seeking the fellowship of God's people, godly people. I meet people here and there who have been to church, and then you say, "Where are you attending now?" "Oh, well, you know, I didn't like there and I went somewhere else, and now I'm just meeting at home. The Lord told me to meet at home." Be sure the Lord didn't tell you that. Because in the context of the Bible, it's always God's people worshiping within the body of Christ. The local group of believers, never in isolated senses, if there is a possibility of meeting with other people. But also, if we want to put ourselves in the way of blessing, we have to read the Bible. And I don't take it for granted that every Christian reads the Bible every day. A pastor said to me recently, I had laid out a reading program for the members of our church, and this was across in England, and he said, they came to me after a while and said, Pastor, it's much too difficult, we can't keep up with that. And he thought he would simplify it, and he did, and he gave out them then another Bible reading program they could follow, and they came back and they said, that's far too much to read on Saturday and Sunday. So in other words, they were telling them they only read the Bible on a Saturday and Sunday. Too much to read on a Saturday and Sunday. And I'm afraid that's often the case with people who profess to be Christians. Remember, God will never throw away his blessings upon those that do not desire him, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. We should ask the Lord to put a hunger and thirst in our hearts, and then cultivate that hunger. As a child grows, its hunger increases. Those of us who are parents this morning can remember the birth of our children. They were weak, they were feeble, they could only take milk. But we would be worried parents after years if they were not looking for something stronger so that they could grow up. And that's the same with the people of God. We can't dwell on milk forever. We should be hungering and longing and thirsting for righteousness. Charles Spurgeon, he put it well when he said, Christ doth satisfy, yet it is not such a satisfaction that the appetite is cloyed or satisfied, but whetted. So we come to God, we hunger and thirst after him. He satisfies us. He increases our capacity for him. But we go on hungering and thirsting for more and more of the living and the true God. A declaration made, blessed. And also a desire manifested, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. But a demand met. They shall be filled. They shall be satisfied. The demand is met positively. The Lord does not send the hungry soul away empty. He satisfies us. His fullness, overflowing and ever flowing with the Holy Spirit, with tender compassion, with grace, with peace, and with blessing. He satisfies us with good things. Paul says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15 and verse 13. So here that demand is met positively, but also presently. It happens. If you believe, you are saved. If you hunger, you are filled. God comes to you. He satisfies you. But then your capacity is so enlarged that you want more of God. And so though he has filled us with his Holy Spirit, he goes on filling us. And we need that day by day and hour by hour. The more the Christian is filled, the more the Christian thirsts and hungers. And then the fruit of the Spirit is manifested in our lives day by day. So what is the conclusion here that our Lord Jesus is seeking to draw? That the way to happiness is by hungering and thirsting after righteousness, longing to be free from sin and made like the Lord Jesus Christ. There is this present enjoyment of being filled with the Holy Spirit so that our lives might glorify Christ. And every day he goes on filling us with the Holy Spirit, and we are enabled and we are empowered to exert an influence, a godly influence, in the society where God has placed us. I wonder, what about you this morning? Have you this hunger and thirst after things that are important, after righteousness, after all that Christ has purchased for us through his death and resurrection and through the outpouring of his Holy Spirit. And then to be those who enjoy that blessing, they shall be filled. They shall be satisfied. There is glorious satisfaction in Jesus Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in him. Oh, may he satisfy our hungry souls this morning. Let us pray. Lord, we praise you, we bless you that you have given us your word. We thank you for its encouragement, for its direction, but we thank you, Lord, for the reminder of the sufficiency of your fullness that you have provided through the giving of yourself and the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. May we not be those who live like paupers, but may we be those who live in the full enjoyment of what Christ has purchased for us. We pray in his precious and holy name. Amen.